So this Sunday we have got an advanced pulpit swap. So Gareth is preaching in Newgen in Somerset West, and we have got the privilege of Andrew Ntambwe, who leads Common Ground Weinberg, who is coming to share God's word with us. So Andre, if you want to come up, we'd love to get to know you a little bit. Have you got your mic on there yet? Looks like you, no, not yet. Yeah, you can pop your mic on there. Great. Andre, tell us a little bit about where you come from and your journey coming to South Africa. What led you to South Africa? And tell us a little bit about that background.
Wow, you're on the spot.
For sure.
Great. So I'm originally from the DRC Congo. And the journey that led me to South Africa, I think it was just God's leading. But there were some circumstances behind me as a result of the civil war in my country that I led my family to be scattered everywhere. Then that's how I found myself in South Africa. But it was following God's plan. When I look back on that journey, I can see that it was following God's plan, because I wouldn't have been standing here this morning if it was not all in God's plan.
Amazing. How long have you been in South Africa now?
I have been in the camp in South Africa now for 20 years.
A good long time.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit, other than leading Common Ground Weinberg, tell us a little bit about other areas, just that the Lord is using you in service and some of your just calling and passion for the kingdom.
Yeah, so I serve as a Central African catalyst for Redeemer City to City. We train church planters, and I'm focusing in Central Africa. Some of you might know the late Dr. Tim Keller, so I used to work under his leadership, and I'm still working under his leadership. And we focus on identifying, equipping, and training and releasing church planters across our continent. Now, to plant at least gospel-centered churches, because it's not just, because there are so many organizations that are training church planters, but our focus is mainly to equip and train and help church planters plant gospel-centered churches.
Amazing. And I believe that you are also on the Advanced Africa Team, church strengthening team.
Yes, exactly.
Just tell us briefly, what does that look like?
Yeah, so with Advanced, it's mainly working with pastors who are in under-resourced communities, trying to journey with them and equip them as well, just provide support, coaching, as well as resources to enable them to do what God has called them to do in the areas that we cannot go and plant churches, but we believe that God has called us to really partner with other leaders, other churches on in our country here. And so that's what I do when it comes to Advanced, yeah, just to work a journey with different leaders, pastors in under-resourced communities.
Brilliant. Andre, it's so good to have you with us here today. It's just wonderful to partner with our sister churches here in the Western Cape, and it's just great to have you bring God's Word today. I know that from your slide presentation that you're going to introduce your family in a moment, so I will leave you to do that. But yeah, thanks so much. Let me pray for you as you bring God's Word. Lord, we thank you for Andre. We thank you for every way that you are using him to extend your kingdom. We thank you for his faithfulness in serving you. And we thank you, Lord, for his sacrifice in bringing your word to us today. And we pray, Lord, that as Andre preaches your word today, we pray that we would be strengthened, Lord. We pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to your truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Andre.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. So grateful. You're going to forgive me for my voice, because I've been singing for a little baby. We've got a newborn. We're just under 2 weeks, so I've been singing a lot for him. So I'm going to need water time and time. My boy took that one. If there is one I can have, that would be great. Okay, thanks. So I have a photo of my family. I don't know if they can put it there. So Yeah, that's my family. The new one is missing. Yeah, you can't see it properly. So we have 3 girls and we have 4 boys. I can see some of you are looking so scared. And you should be wondering, how do you do this? It's all by God's grace. So we love the family, and part of my work that I do is City to City Africa, which is Redeemer. We look at research on how the future, where the future is when it comes to the gospel, and there we've identified so many cities on our continent that we know that the population is going to be growing, and that's where the hope is in terms of the church. You should then ask the question, where is that population going to be coming from? It's not only going to be transfer growth, it is also the fact that we continue to have babies. So I'm so excited that God has blessed us with a big family, and it's a great joy to have that big family. Our daughter finished university last year, and I'm here this morning with our oldest son, who is in grade 10. And so that's all about our family. And once again, thank you for inviting me to come and share God's word with you. This morning, I would love to talk to you about God's divine interruption. Even the fact that I'm standing here this morning, it's because I've been interrupted by God. In my planning this year, I did not plan to come and preach here. I planned to be at our church. But got interrupted by God in a good way. That's the reason why I'm here with you this morning. And I want to start by saying that interruptions in life should be seen as a gift from God. So today's message, we are going to explore 3 points about interruptions. And then in the second part of my message, we are going to look at 3 lessons, you know, from the passage that we are going to be reading this morning. We'll pull out at least 3 lessons from the passage, today's passage. But before we look at scripture, I want to ask a question. How many of you in this room had put together a resolution checklist for 2024? Thank you. Oh, students, you didn't plan, you didn't. So you didn't put anything down for this year, for like your checklist, resolution list, nothing? Okay. Then I'm not going to talk what I wanted to embarrass some of you, but I'm going to. Anyway, let's deal with a few who did it. So, usually you plan the way you want to see life go, or the way you want to do things. Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 19, it says, verse 21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So we get to plan things. Maybe some of you, even if you didn't put your hand up, you had planned that in the first quarter of this year, you want to exercise more. You want to eat healthy food. You want to save money. You want to reduce stress, perhaps. You want to get engaged. You want to propose to someone. You want to stick to a budget. You want to focus on your spiritual growth. Now, as I am talking, I can see some of you are doing this, which means that you have these things written down. So if you wanted to travel more, learn a new skill. Now, the first quarter of the year is almost finishing, closing. I want to ask you a question. Some of those things, did you stick to them? Did you live according to them? Maybe you had planned to exercise more, but then it just happened that one of your best friends maybe was going through something that had then shift your focus. Instead of exercising, you start to spend more time with that person. There is nothing wrong with that. That is one of the examples of interruptions. But whenever God interrupts our lives, He does it for a purpose. One, it is for His glory, and it is for our good. And those are some of the things that we are going to be looking at this morning. And if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We are going to be reading from verse 26 to 38. I've asked if you could ask someone to please read.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and he shall be called, you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her older age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Thank you. This is the word of God. My prayer is that God will help us. God will help me to bring clarity, and that God will help you, that God will prepare your heart to receive from Him, and to do something in your life this morning. So, overview of the period. Here we've just read about Jesus' conception. Birth and childhood are logical starting points for a study of anyone's life. If you want to study a person's life, you want to start by the time. You could see the question that I was asked earlier on. Can you tell us about yourself, where you come from, etc.? I would have started to tell you to say, you know, I was born this place and my mom, what it happens. Usually you have to start there. You cannot start by saying, you know, I work there and there and there and there. No. You start from the roots. Now, when we look at the scriptures, only two of the four Gospels mention Jesus' birth. And there is only one recorded incident from his childhood. The Gospel writers have little interest in Jesus' child years. Matthew and Luke do show some interest in Jesus' birth, at least. The interest in his conception and birth lies in showing that he is the Son of God, who became a man by means of a virgin birth, as we've just read. Matthew and Luke both tell the story of Jesus' conception. However, they tell it from different perspectives. We have Luke who tells the story through the eyes of Mary, whereas Matthew records it from Joseph's point of view. And we are going to look at that. Now, when the few verses that we just read, you see that they have a lot of details. And the question is, how did really Luke got all that information, the details? Because he gave us the real details. It felt like as though he was standing right there when the angel went to speak to Mary. I don't know if you've ever thought about that when you are reading, because for me, when I'm reading the Word of God, I love to question things. Look, how did you just write it this way? It felt like you are telling us, you are writing as though you are standing there. A few possibilities. The only possible source of these intimate details is Mary herself. Either Luke had an interaction with Mary, Mary gave those details. But when we read Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, Luke indicates that he did careful research before he wrote his gospel. That's what we are taught. He consulted written records of Jesus' life, perhaps, and he spoke to eyewitnesses of the events so that he could gather such an, you know, the kind of detail that we've just read. Oh, as I said earlier, maybe Luke personally spoke to Mary, or he had access to the written accounts of her thoughts, based on what we've just read. Now, let's look at Mary. Mary lived in a small town called Nazareth, a fairly small town, hidden town in Galilee. That's where she lived. And we are told that 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, who was a relative to Mary, God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary to inform her that she would bear the Messiah. Mary was a virgin, engaged to a guy called Joseph. And when the angel greeted Mary, this is what the angel said to Mary. He described Mary as highly favored and assured her that she had found favor with God. That's what we see in verse 28 and verse 30. She had found favor with God. I want to ask you a question. If you are a Christ follower, but if you are not, please, you don't have to worry. What do you think he meant by this? Mary, you have found favor with God. I need some few volunteers, Christ followers. Let's do a little bit of interactive. I believe when I asked, they told me that there are some students in this room, and the students love debating and they love interaction. So that's why I thought about that. God was pleased with her. That's what you say, sir. Wonderful. God was pleased with her walk. Great. Other people? God would use anyone. Great. Sorry? She was obedient. Good stuff. God was watching her life. Incredible. All those contributions, they're true. I want you to hear this. Every Jewish woman longed to bear the Messiah. So the fact that God put his hand on Mary, she had found favor before God. Because it was something that every Jewish woman longed to bear the Messiah. They longed for that. God blessed Mary by choosing her for that great honor. It was an honor that God chose, put on Mary's life. Since Jewish women usually married at about the age of 15, Mary would have been approximately 14 years old when she had the encounter with the angel. She was about 14 years old. She received the highest honor possible. She would bear the cross. It was the highest honor that Mary received. Now, the angel, in his instruction to Mary, the angel Gabriel made a number of statements, about seven in total, but we are only going to look on a few. Gabriel made it clear that this was not to be a son conceived naturally after she married Joseph. Instead, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. In the Gentile world, we have to know that there were some rumors that were going around to say that people were having sexual relationships with the gods. You know, with women. And those, you know, and they would have children from the gods, you know, the spirits. But here we read the scriptures made it very clear and carefully phrased to ensure that no such kind of interpretation can arise from the scriptures. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon her in a pure, non-sexual manner, causing her to conceive the Lord Jesus. And Jesus' conception was the result of the miracle working power of God, of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. The child would be called the Son of God. In verse 35, that's what we are taught. Why that kind of detail? Why is it important? God wanted to make sure that when we are reading this, we won't think that that child was Joseph's son. He was to be called the Son of God, not the son of Joseph. So my first point is this: interruptions happen. Interruptions are a natural part of life. They will happen, whether you like it or not. If you haven't made provision for it, I want you to know that they will come, they will happen. The word interrupt means to come between, to break in. It's the one thing we can count on. Interruptions will come in and break up our plans. They'll break up our plans. You have a plan, but often that plan doesn't work out at all as you expected or as you would have liked. And there is a reason to that. There are things we just can't control. We should, in a sense, expect the unexpected in life as Christ followers. Even those who are not Christ followers, I believe that in God's divine plan, there is going to be a time when God will interrupt your life for His glory and for your good. Interruptions will occur in one form or another, and we are going to discover shortly. We are to learn how to respond. That is the most important thing. And my focus today is looking at the interruption that shaped the history of the world and turned the world around. That's where I'm going to be focusing. This interruption is Jesus' conception. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan in terms of, you know, what we want to do. Let me say, if you want to get married, you can plan for that. Please go ahead and plan to get married. If you want to get a new job, go ahead and plan to get a new job. If you want to get engaged, you can go ahead and plan for that. If you want to relocate or you want to stay here, please go ahead and plan that. But I want you to know this. Interruptions happen. The life of Joseph and Mary helps us make provision for interrupted life. Maybe the word provision is too strong. We should maybe say expect our plans to be interrupted. We should make room for that. The reason why I say that we should see interruptions as a gift, because you will discover shortly that if it is God's divine interruption, the good thing will always come out of it. When you read the scriptures, Abraham was interrupted, Jeremiah was interrupted, Moses was interrupted, Joseph was interrupted. That's the way God does work. He uses his people to display his glory to the world. Therefore, our planning is not above God's will or God's plan. Now I'm getting you. At first I thought like I was confusing you. That's what you are thinking. Now let's get back to the context that Mary and Joseph found themselves in. One thing to notice about the customs at the time was that Mary and Joseph were already promised and committed in a covenant. They were already promised and committed in a covenant. Even though the marriage ceremony was still to take place, a pledge was already considered as though these two people were married. There was no way that Joseph could just walk away from Mary, or Mary could just walk away. If any of them would have decided to do that, they needed to go through a process of divorce, because they were considered as married. As many people hope for today, but in those days, a woman would especially be grateful for this. Mary had been promised to a good man. Think about this. One with a trade, who was in a good standing in his community, and a descendant of King David. He had a career, Joseph. You know, he had a good family background, the right age and the stage of life. He was approved by Mary's family, and Mary was approved by Joseph's family. All the boxes were well ticked. And it felt just like this was going to be an amazing couple. But yet, when God was looking from heaven, he saw that there is something that has to be done in that relationship. The relationship that everyone was looking, you know, they're admiring, and these guys are looking happy, but yet God get into that. He breaking into their relationship. Now, it did not start with Joseph. Instead of even going to the man, God chose to go to Mary. And to make matters difficult in that culture, it was difficult for them to listen to a woman. And now Mary has to face this. She has to go explain to Joseph what has happened to her. How would she explain her pregnancy to Joseph? Because she was already pregnant. Would he believe her? Would he be willing to take on the responsibility of the pregnancy that is not his? When God interrupts our life, it moves us from our comfort zones, because that's what God does. It shakes us. It puts us in a situation where we have to make a decision, either to go on our own or to run to him. So when we look at the interaction between Gabriel and Mary, negotiation was not part of that deal. And we know how Joseph responded. He did not believe Mary. How could he? If I have to put myself in Joseph's position, I could not believe. If I was Joseph, I could say no to that. Completely no. I could not believe Mary. Joseph's plans for a happy home with a woman he wanted to love, provide for, and have their children together were ruined before his eyes. His life, as well as ours, had been powerfully interrupted by God. The Christian life is like this. We are ordinary people in many ways. We have plans and desires. Plans to have a great job, great career, great business, great home, house, children, etc. We have all these plans and desires. Yet alongside this, there are God's plans and God's will. God is at work, and at any moment, he might do something special. At any moment, he might break in. He might break into your life. He might break into your career plans. He might break into your relationship. He might break into your business. He might break at any time. God can break in into your life and interrupt your plans. And we have to be open to that, because the most important thing in our lives, it is not our plans. It is what says the Lord. This brings me to my second point. Interruptions happen, but it is how we respond to them that is key. How we respond, that is key. Let's look at how both Mary and Joseph responded to this unbelievable news. We are told when we read that Mary took her fears and processed them through questioning and then accepted what she felt God's will was for her life. That's what we are told when we read. It felt like Mary took, you know, she took her fears, she processed her fears, and she went in questioning God. How is this going to be? How is this possible? I am a virgin. But when we look at Joseph, Joseph made his plans without first taking it before God. Thankfully, God rescued Joseph from his mistake. If we look at verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. And in verse 34, how will this be, Mary asked. She took it to God. The fear, she wanted to process it before the Lord. Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Okay, you are saying God wants to do this with me, but how is this going to happen because I'm a virgin? She's questioning God's plan for her life. There is nothing wrong with that. She went to God. She did not run away from God. And in verse 38, we are told, I am the Lord's servant. Finally, when she knew, she got clarity that this is God's will, this is God's plan, this is not just, it's not coming from some gods or some spirits. She was convinced that it was coming from God, and the response is very encouraging. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. She was willing for the will of God and God's plan to bypass her own plans. Now, let me tell you what was at risk with Mary. One, her family, Joseph's family, the villagers, people were going to talk. You know, the shame, the stigma that was going to come with that, just the fact that she accepted the decision that God wanted to do something with her life, a lot was at risk. Our relationship with Joseph was at risk. But is this not what we normally try to protect? You know, I would rather hide some stuff because I'm concerned about my reputation. I would rather not confess. I would rather not speak. I would rather not invite anyone. I would rather not talk to anyone because I am so concerned the way people look at me, I am going to damage my reputation. But Mary did not think of her reputation. Mary did not actually try to protect or to think about what other people would say about her. She was open to follow God's plan and God's will. Amen. Mary accepted to let God break into her life. She was prepared to lose her relationship, but to be good with God is what was most important than to gain favor from men. Sometimes in business, you want to gain favor from men, but not to be good with God. Sometimes in a relationship, you want to please your partner and not please God. Sometimes when there are conflicts, you want to protect yourself rather than to represent God well. Friends, it is our responsibility as Christ followers to respond according to God's will and His plan when faced with any kind of interruption in our lives. I'm going to ask that they read for us Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. There we will discover how Joseph responded.
Yeah, thank you.
As long as it doesn't have a genealogy in it. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you so much. So, friends, first of all, I want to say this. If you want to protect your reputation, you lose it. Joseph was so lucky that God rescued him. Because what we learn here is Matthew is telling the same story, but he focuses entirely on Joseph. And as I said earlier on, that they were already in a covenant. They were already considered as married. So when Joseph heard about the news about Mary, we are told that Joseph was planning to divorce Mary in secret. You know, when confronted with a situation, when your life is interrupted, we have to be careful that we don't make decisions based on emotions. We have to be careful that if we are not well informed, it is not good to rush and make decisions, especially if we don't know what God wants for us in a situation, especially if we haven't consulted God. So here we are told that Joseph had made a plan to divorce Mary. He wanted to do it in secret. But here we can see in Joseph that one is doing it for his own reputation. But even if we are told that he wanted to do it in secret, but mostly it was for him. He wanted to do it for him. And in most cases, this is how sometimes even us Christ followers, that's how we do things. Yet we are called to be the light. We are called to represent Jesus differently. But in situation, we always want to make sure that we are the one winning. If this thing is going to make me look bad, I am not going to step in. Now, let me say this to you. Some of you this morning, God might want you to position yourself as Joseph. Afterwards, when God spoke to Joseph, Joseph really had to think to reposition himself and to let go of his primary thoughts. And now he needed to stand to protect Mary. When God interrupts your life, he will make provision for people who can surround you. And your yes is what is going to cause God to make sure that everything works according to his plan. There is nothing that we can fear, but the primary thing that we have to do is to say our yes. You can see here, God is dealing with Mary on the other side. At the same time, God is dealing with Joseph before even Mary or Joseph made a decision to run. God had already break into there. You know, while the news, before it comes out to the public, God was already in the situation and he went to speak to Joseph as well. Because he knew that it was impossible for Mary to convince Joseph. So we are told here, Joseph awake with a changed mind. He would not divorce Mary. He would take her as his wife and help raise his miraculous child. That's what we are told. He had gotten God's perspective on his interruption. The most important thing is for us to get God's perspective when we are going through difficult times. So Mary is in a most vulnerable position with respect to the rest of the village. The villagers, no doubt, consider Joseph the father of Jesus. No doubt. While it was wrong to have sexual relations during the pledge, there were no formal punishment that was required for Mary. But the only thing that would have been required for Joseph to do was to divorce Mary. So by taking Mary into his home, Joseph removes the social stigma that would have been associated with Mary. He removed that by accepting to take Mary the way she was. Maybe God wants you to do that. Maybe God wants to position you in a life of a friend, a colleague who is going through something, and God wants you to play that role. It is important. But most times we want to protect our own reputation. Joseph took on the role of protector and provided godly leadership in their relationship. That's what he did. Will you do the same? He shows himself to be a man of faith and strength. His willingness to obey God demonstrates that he, like Mary, has a servant's heart toward God and is fully obedient to the call of God on his life. Friends, if you think about Jesus, not only he chooses to protect us, he is the best and the better Joseph. Because Jesus, in Joseph's and Mary's situation, Mary was innocent. And when God spoke to Joseph, Joseph was willing to stand and to let go of his thoughts. But this is not the case with Jesus, because he accepted to die for us while we were yet sinners. But he said, I'm going to take the blame. He is a better Joseph. Jesus Christ. Mary was innocent, but you and I were not. But yet Christ Jesus accepted to say, I am going to stand. I am going to take the blame. We deserve to die in our sinfulness, but Jesus took our sins on the cross. So far we've looked at one, interruptions happen, two, but it is how we respond to them that is key. And thirdly, and my final point is this, interruptions are not distractions from the journey. They are the journey. They are not distractions from the journey, but they are the journey. They are a chance to see God's sovereign plan at work. They are a chance to experience the presence of God as a journey. And they are a chance for God to do a deep work in you. Don't run away from them. Don't look for a shortcut. Don't try to work hard to come out of a situation so prematurely. Let God do His work in your life. Allow God to reveal His plan to you. Interruptions are often the way God gets our attention. They are often the way that God gets our attention. Often these interruptions remind us that there is a God and that He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And in fact, it is when we are going through difficult times, that's when we get perspective about what really matters. Sometimes when things are just going normal, we don't get to understand. But when things start to go out of place, if they are not going according to our plans, that's when we come to realize, really, we get the perspective, we got God's perspective in the situation. God will allow it to happen to you because He wants to get your attention. Even right now, some of you maybe might be going through some stuff. Last night, maybe you are asking yourself questions, should I leave or should I stay? Should I break up or should I continue? Should I get involved or not? Should I go to the left or to the right? Don't run to the left or to the right too quick. Run to God. Ask for His perspective. Someone listening today, I sense you really need to hear this. God has interrupted your life because He wants to get your attention. He wants to get your attention. Maybe for too long, you have not been giving God your attention, and He wants to get your attention. For too long, maybe it has been a very superficial kind of a relationship with God. But God is really a relational God. It's not about what we do for Him. He's so much interested about us than He is interested in what we can do for Him. And this morning, if that's you, I'd love at least to stand and pray with you. I know that I still have three things to give you. Please don't worry about the time because some of you are looking. You know, I had to ask for permission because in my context, in African context, obviously we're all in Africa and all that, but in my culture especially, we tell a story by, we make a point by telling story. That's why you see I'm trying to emphasize coming with us through a journey so that we can actually, I can take, I would have gone, point number one, number two, number three, but I want us to really understand. Maybe you are sitting here, your life is being interrupted by a particular situation. It could be illness. It could be your colleague who is going through a tough time. It could be your parents. It could be a relationship that is not working right. And God really wants your attention. He has things to say to you and things to do in your life this morning. He wants to break in. He wants to end a certain habit in your life perhaps, maybe this morning. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He cannot leave you to continue the way you are. God wants to do something in your life. He's calling you. He wants you to experience His life, His love fully. Will you surrender to Him? He is at work. He has a plan for you. He has a plan. That one I can tell. We can see it with Mary and Joseph. God had a plan. Their interruption got us our Savior. What a great interruption, because without that interruption, we wouldn't be standing here today. The church exists because Mary said, yes, I am willing to take, to carry the Savior. I am willing for my relationship with Joseph to be interrupted. Even if people are going to say bad things to me, I am prepared to stand because it is the will of God. Some of you are listening in today and you are not a Christ follower. Maybe you have dialed in because you are wanting to find out more. Maybe this is for you. God has interrupted your life because He wants to get your attention. He wants you to discover the real love. He wants you to find meaning in life, because what you are chasing, there is nothing that you get out of it. God wants you to find meaning, and meaning is only found in our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is nowhere else that you are going to find meaning and purpose. If you surrender to Him today, you will receive life. And not only life, you will receive eternal life. Is that you? Is that you? All right, please tell me. 2 minutes? 1 minute? 2 minutes is good. Even three. All right. The scriptures that I wanted to read, but I'm not going to read, but I want to say this. If you read Isaiah 7:14, you'd see that Mary and Joseph, whatever they were going through, there were things that were already prophesied. They were already spoken. And when God wants to do something in the world to display His glory, He's not going to use animals and trees. He's going to use us in this room. The things that He has planned already before time, God will use any of us. You know, someone said that God can use anyone. And that was a great, great answer. Any of us here, we are to make ourselves available just like Mary did. God's sovereign plan is not what we would expect. It is surprising. God is about to send His Son, and He had to work through Mary, and we saw that. These are the things which were already spoken. Now, let me give us three things, because I've already used my 1 minute. Three learnings from this story. By the way, we know where Mary came from. She did not come from a rich family. She came from a small town. But that's what God does sometimes when He wants to use people. He does not check where you come from or your standards or your family background, but God can use anyone. When we encounter an interruption, here are the three things that I want to advise you to do. The first lesson, pray and pursue God's presence. The first thing to do when your life is interrupted is to stop and pray. Pray for guidance, pray for wisdom and discernment. This is very important. Pray for courage, pray for help, invite God in. That's the very first thing you have to do. Why pray for courage? Because not everyone is going to love your decision, because God's decision and His will, not everyone is going to like it or love it. Secondly, praise and gratitude. We don't have time to read. You can go read verse 46, the song that Mary sang. It's a beautiful song. You know, Mary really praises God. You know, Mary worshiped God because of who He is, His character, His faithfulness, His mercy, as well as because of what He has done. She is calling those things to mind. Can I encourage you? When you are going through difficulty, do not just start to complain. You have to stop and look on the track record of God in your life. And most importantly, you look at what God has already done for you. Christ Jesus died on the cross for you. It is done. It is finished. We can live safe knowing that we have a loving Father who cares for us. So therefore, start praising God. Lastly, and the final lesson from Mary, is obedience and surrender. It was said earlier on. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your will. I want to leave you with that. A gift of an interrupted life. When your life is interrupted, don't consider it as a curse. Consider it as a gift from God. Without interruption, we wouldn't have had a church today. Christ came because of the interruption. And through him is death and resurrection. We have obtained eternal life and salvation. Seated on the, at the right hand of Father, interceding for you, interceding for me. So today, I'd love to give us the opportunity at the end, maybe after communion. Those of you might want prayer and feel like God has been speaking to you specifically this morning. Maybe to surrender to him, or maybe to just run to him in prayer. I'll be right here to pray with you. God bless you. Thank you so much for your patience, and thank you for the invitation once again. God bless you.